Well, I don't know about you, but I love before and after stories. The old and the new stories of people who have had their lives radically transformed from an old reality to a new one. Usually, we hear about these kind of stories when someone's trying to sell you something. They're trying to sell you a weight loss program or an exercise machine or a new financial investment strategy or even a new cuddly blanket that will make your sleep amazing and transform your life. And the advertising strategies that use the before and after, they work, don't they? They work because we love the before and after. And the way they do it is to show results. Jenny Craig shows us the old large life, usually a robust person, and they have this amazing weight loss program, and then they get the trim, new me. The Abmaster Pro shows this kind of flabby tummy life, and then bang, the new six-pack, tight, muscular life. I'm in the before phase at the moment. Know if you can tell. Investment groups hold out the strategy that will set you up for life. I saw an investment strategy that literally showed a golden egg and said, this represents your potential retirement funds. Look, see the potential. And it draws you in, doesn't it? Lotto promises the transformed life from the old boring life where I can't do anything because I don't have any money to helicopter pads on the top of my roof. We love it, don't we? We love the before and after, the old and the new, because it works because we long to be transformed ourselves. We want a better us. We want something different, something new, and here's why. In every single person, there is a potential to be the before person or the after person, to be in the new you or the old you, whether it's weight loss, exercise, investment, something else. We all have the potential to live a before life or an after life. We love the before and after because we want something more. And you know what? God also loves the before and the after. God actually specializes in bringing people from the before life to the after, to the new you. He loves making people who were old into new people, transformed life. That's his speciality. And that's what we see in this section of Romans this morning. We see two realms of life, two existences in which we can live in relation to God, two completely different lives. One, an old you that lives a certain way and follows certain things and has a certain conclusion, and the other, a new you, which lives a certain way and follows certain things and has a certain conclusion. And these two realms in Romans chapter 5 are characterized by two figureheads, two men. I don't know if you saw it as we read it. There's Adam and there's Jesus. Paul here in Romans contrasts them both. And what's he trying to do? He's trying to push us to see which one are you in. That's what he's going to do. Paul calls these two realms the trespass and the gift, the free gift. And already I know which one I want to be in, right? Trespass, gift, yes please. We'll work it out. Here's the two realms. The realm of Adam, the trespass, is about sin and death and condemnation. The realm of Jesus, the free gift, is of grace, life, and justification. So Paul contrasts these two realms. Let's get to the first contrast. The first one. The old life in Adam brings sin and death, but the new life in Jesus brings super abundant grace. Have a look at verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. starts with therefore. Whenever you see a therefore, you've got to ask, what's the therefore therefore? What is it linking? What is it doing? Therefore, that is in light of what we've seen already in the first half of chapter 5. Therefore, because God has reconciled enemies to himself through the death of Jesus. Therefore, if that is true, Paul says, I'm now going to explain what that looks like in your life. And he'll do that in chapter 5 and chapter 6 as well. Therefore, you must see there's two lives you could live. Two existences. Verse 12, have a look. Therefore, just as sins came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin was not counted where there's no law. That is, sin existed before the law came, that's the Ten Commandments, but it wasn't held to account by God because you don't understand your sin unless God tells you. He has to make it known to you, but there's still sin there, but God hasn't shown you what it's about. Verse 14, let's keep going. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses. Moses is when the Ten Commandments, the law came. Even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, over people who didn't have a word from God to disobey. Adam was given a specific word from God, but death reigned over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one to come. Okay. What does that mean? Adam is a prototype. He's the first Adam. And then we get the real Adam to come in. Jesus, the second Adam. So Adam sets us up. He's the type of the one to come. Who's the one to come? Jesus. So Adam sets us up to understand the real perfect man, Jesus Christ. Let's keep going. Verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. They're not equal realms. For if many died through the one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by that grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. The free gift is not like the trespass. It's not like the one man's sin. For judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. So what's Paul doing? He's setting up the two realms, and he's very clearly showing us they are not equal, but he's showing us how they came to be, what's different about them, and why they matter. Adam disobeys God in the beginning, and sin comes into the world. And sin results in death, because sin, before sin was in the world, there wasn't death, was there? They kept living. But now sin is in the world, and so is death, which makes sense, doesn't it? If God creates you and you turn away from him, you do your own thing without him, he is going to judge that, and the result is death. But we'll get onto that later. Adam started sin. He's responsible for his sin. But did you notice he's not responsible for yours? Verse 12. All people die because all people sin. So you can't say, oh, well, I'm only sinning because Adam did. You can't blame Adam for your sin. It's saying sin started with Adam, but it's in you. You sin, therefore you die. You're responsible for your own sin. Don't try and blame Adam. Now, Paul takes a bit of a sidetrack into the law. Did you see it? He's doing that because he's writing to Jews, and he always wants to explain the gospel and how it affects the law. So he says, before the law was given, the Ten Commandments, verse 13, sin was in the world, obviously, to people turned away, but it wasn't accounted, it wasn't held by God, because the law shows that you break it. If I'm going 110 in an 80 zone, but there's no sign, it's still breaking the law, isn't it? But I don't know. It's still breaking the law. I need to be told. And the law shows us we're breaking it. And did you see that death was still the end of people, whether it's there's the law or not? Verse 14, from Adam to Moses, from the beginning to when the law was given, even those over those who didn't sin by breaking the law, that is, the law came, before the law came, people still sinned, people still died, because they were following Adam's line. They sinned and they died. So what does all this mean? Well, here's what the first contrast is. The first thing we see of Adam's realm is that it brought sin and it brought death into the world. It's not a good start, is it? But here's the huge contrast. The old life in Adam brings sin and death, but the new life in Jesus brings super abundant grace. We get to the good stuff now. Verse 15, have a look. But the free gift is not like the trespass. They're not equal realms. For if many died through the one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by that grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. So do you get the feel of this language? It's big language. On the one hand, there's sin and death. But the free gift, Paul wants to show, he uses this language of superabounding, much more abundant. Paul's saying the realm of Jesus is much, much more than the realm of Adam. Did you see it? When you sin, you die. That happens to all of us. That's us. But when you transfer into the realm of Jesus, you get much more. The gift is not like the trespass. If you think about it, do you want a gift or do you want a trespass? You know what a trespass is, right? It's an offense, a misdeed, an error. Or there's a free gift of grace from God. One super abounds over the other. This trespass that Paul's talking about, this realm of Adam, this old life, will always end in death. Sin always leads to death. But God doesn't leave us there. He breaks in, superabounding. So do you see what this is? Here's the contrast. Sin or grace. One realm ends in death forever. All sin, therefore all die. That's what he said. The other literally super abounds. That word abounded in verse 15. You see it again. It's in verse 17. Abundance of grace. It's literally about supply. Often it's used for wealth, but it's not always about wealth. It's here, the context is quantity, supply, overtaking something else. When I read this, I can't help but think of Scrooge McDuck. I don't know if you've heard of Scrooge McDuck. It's an old cartoon. Basically, Scrooge McDuck was the uncle of Daffy Duck. And he goes around, he's a very rich uncle. And he goes around building skyscrapers and making lots of money, and he hoards his money. He makes so much money, he has to build this huge vault, and it's like a basketball stadium, bigger than this, full of gold coins. And I love the picture. There's this picture where he's diving into his vault of gold coins. And do you know what happens? It explodes out all the windows and the doors as he dives in. I don't know how one little duck can explode a whole room of gold coins, but it's a cartoon. That's the feel here. The picture is of God's grace. There's so much of it that it explodes. It smashes sin and death. That's a super abundant amount of grace. And that's what you get in the realm of Jesus. More than you need. More grace. More forgiveness. More life. Much more than you'll ever need. So what does it look like? And Paul goes on now and explains what's the result of these two realms. The old life in Adam results in judgment and condemnation. It gets worse. The new life in Jesus results in justification. Have a look, verse 16. And the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the gift following many trespasses brought justification. One of my friends lit a bushfire next to our high school. He was playing with matches and he had this thing where he had he's flicking. It's a really silly thing to do. And he was flicking, and all of a sudden it just got out of control, burnt the whole thing down. The fire crew came and he got so busted. It was not a great time. Got very in trouble. But I looked over that bushland afterwards and it was completely devastated. One spark spread to a whole blazing fire, which ended in just complete scorched devastation. The realm of Adam, the trespass, begins with sin. It leads to death and judgment, but it ends in condemnation. You know what condemnation is? It means punished for sin. Do you see who gets condemned in the realm of Adam? Who is it? It's you and me. In the realm of Adam, we rightly get punished for our sin. God, who made absolutely everything and gives you every breath you have, everything you have, that God is the same God that you and I have turned away from, actively opposed or just completely ignored. And he rightly holds us to account. He judges sin. And the judgment is guilty. But then in the realm of Jesus, the new life, he takes the punishment. He is condemned. He is punished, not us. And so there is justification. Remember last week we looked at the major theme of Romans 1 to 4 so far, and we saw that it's been in the law court language. And the picture in Romans chapters 1 to 4 is of us standing in the dock of a law court, and God is in the judge's seat, and we're accused of sin, we're standing on trial, and we know we're guilty. Everyone knows we're guilty. God knows we're guilty. And just before God's going to hand down his sentence, Jesus steps in and says, I've already taken the punishment for this one. I've already been condemned for this one. And so God the Father turns to you and says, not guilty, not condemned, even though you are. God declares you righteous in the realm of Jesus Christ. And so last week we saw that the judge not only finds you not guilty, because the not guilty one, Jesus, steps in and takes it for you, but also that judge steps down from his position of power and puts his arm around you and says, you and me are good now. You and me are reconciled. We're friends. And that's where it left at Romans 5:11. Reconciled. Now, Paul brings us back to the law court language because he's wanting to show us where these two realms end up. The old life in Adam ends up in judgment and condemnation for your sin. You pay the penalty for your sin. The new life in Jesus, you are justified through Jesus. He takes the punishment for your sin. So there's the choice before you right now. Not a very hard one, to be honest. But here's the question. If you had to stand before God right now in that dock, who would take the punishment for your sin? If God took you just as you walked out the door of North Coast Church and you stood in the dock, are you going to cop the penalty for your sin? Or is Jesus Christ? The old life in Adam brings sin and death, results in judgment and condemnation. The new life is super abundant in grace And Jesus takes our punishment, so we're declared righteous, justified, not guilty, even though we are. So how does this all affect my life, Matt? I'm glad you asked. We're going to say now. Let's have a look. Here is what it means for us now. Paul goes on. The old life in Adam. Sin and death reign in life now. They rule you. But the amazing thing about new life in Jesus is you reign in Jesus. Did you see it in the text? You reign. Verse 15, have a look. Verse 17, Romans 5. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Law came in to increase the trespass. That is, it holds us to account. That's how it increases. But where sin increased, grace superabounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus. So do you see what God's saying to you today? As you go out into your busy life, as you and I are distracted by the things of the world, you're only living in one of two realms right now. You're living in the realm of Adam, where sin and death rule you, or you're living in the realm of Jesus where you reign in him. These are not equal realms. One swallows up the other. One reigns over the other. No. You reign. We reign. Did you see it? I don't know if you've ever thought of yourself as reigning in life. I'm not a king. I'm looking out. I don't see any crowns here today. I didn't see any royal processions as we came in to church. Maybe I missed it. No. But here it says, we reign in this life. Do you see what that means if you're a Christian? You rule over the big ticket items of life. You might not feel it, but it's true. You can trust what God says here. You rule over sin. It can't beat you. You rule over death. It can't hold you down. You rule over condemnation. It won't stick. Matt, how can that be true? I don't rule over my decisions. I can't even decide what I'm going to eat for lunch, let alone rule over sin and death. You rule over the big ticket items of life because you rule through one man, Jesus Christ. He rules over sin. He rules over death. He rules over condemnation. And so therefore you do too. If you've come to trust Jesus Christ, if you come to him by faith, that faith is like super glue. It's like you super glue yourself to him. No, actually, he super glues to you. You're united. So whatever happens to Jesus happens to you. Has he conquered sin? You've conquered sin. Has he conquered death? You've conquered death. Is he condemned for you? Yes. So you are not condemned. It can't beat you. It can't hold you down. It won't stick. Jesus rules over the realm of Adam. They're not equal. He swallows it up. It superabounds. How did he do it? Did you see? Sin has its way in the world. It spreads to the whole world. It kills people. leads to death and condemnation. And Jesus comes in, smashes into this world. What does Jesus do? He kills sin and death on the cross. One act of righteousness leads to justification. One man's obedience, the many are made righteous. One glorious act of perfect submission, one magnificent act of righteousness on the cross. One man, the perfect man, Jesus Christ, bears it all. And as he dies, he cries out, my God, why are you forsaking me? Why am I forsaken? He willingly takes the punishment. Everything is poured out onto him. How does grace superabound? By Jesus swallowing it up at the cross. I was watching a documentary recently on sharks and whales, and it was showing killer whales eating some small fish, occasional seal, that sort of stuff. They're about 2 or 3 meters long. I thought, man, those guys are really dominating the sea. And then all of a sudden, this huge humpback whale came in. He was about 15 meters, they said, just this monster. And as he cruised in, they just scattered. They tried to get him, but they couldn't. And then the humpback opened his mouth and swallowed up everything that was there. That's the picture we've got here. Sin and death is swallowed up by the death of Jesus Christ. One act of righteousness, one glorious act of perfect obedience, one magnificent work of salvation swallows up absolutely everything that might reign over us, that might rule us, every big ticket item. And so it's very clear what God's saying to us this morning, isn't it? There's only two realms in which we can exist. One is ruled by death. It reigns. You don't need to go far. Go to a funeral of someone who has lived in this realm, in the old life in Adam. Go to that funeral and see. Death reigns. People who live in that realm without God personally in it are ruled by death. If you think about it, it rules by taking us at any instant. Scary. You don't know what's going to happen next. It maps out your life. More than that, it rules over your decisions. Gee, I really better make the most of this life before I die. I better get everything I can now before time runs out. I'm getting old. Time's ticking away. Christian, don't think like that. You're not ruled by death. You rule through Jesus. If you're a Christian, all the big ticket items of life, you rule them. You rule sin because Jesus does. You rule death because Jesus does. You rule condemnation because Jesus does. Can you see how amazing it is to be in the realm of Jesus Christ? How much more do you need? You rule, you reign through him. Let's finish up. What does this mean for us right now? Two things. One, it is possible to say you're in the realm of Jesus Christ, but actually be in the realm of Adam. Lots of people say they're Christian. Well, how do I work it out? You could be saying, yeah, I'm in this realm, that sounds really great, but actually be living here. How do you work it out? Ask yourself the question, does Jesus rule the big ticket items of your life? Do you see your life through Jesus, or are you just living it? Does he center your life, or is he off to the side a bit? Do you talk to him? Do you listen to him? Do you serve Jesus here at church? Do you give your money to the work Jesus is doing? Christians reign in life through Jesus. The way we win, the way we succeed, the way we rule is through him. There's all sorts of ways you can try and rule your life. There's all sorts of ways you can try and succeed. If you are looking to anything else other than Jesus Christ to rule your life, then you might quite possibly be in here and say you're in there. You need to transfer. You need to go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. You need to realign your heart with him. You need to say, please forgive my sin. Please take it all on the cross for me. Please transform me from the before to the after. You could just be still living the before life. The way you know you're in the realm of Jesus is that he is your life. Secondly, it is impossible to be in this realm and live each day like you're in this one. See, that's slightly different. It's impossible to be here. I know I'm a Christian, but I'm dabbling a lot in here. It is impossible to keep doing. If God makes you an apple, you will always be an apple. You can hang out with oranges all you want. You could even smell a little like an orange, but you'll be an apple. God rescues you from sin and death, transfers you from the old realm into the new. Don't go back to the mud. It's impossible to be a Christian and keep living like you're not. Christians reign in life through Jesus. Ask yourself, are you reigning in life through him, or are you looking to other things? Christian, reign in life through Jesus. We love the before and the after, don't we? We love it because we want more. We want a better life. We want to rule. We want to succeed. We want to win. And that is exactly what God freely gives us. There is no more that in this life to get than what Jesus has given you. How much more do you need? So as we look out in this world, we're going out into the sunny Perth, nice warm Western Australia. We're going to see people busy, living life. Every one of those people are living in one of two realms. You are living in one of two realms. One is ruled by sin and death and leads to condemnation forever. And the other gives you a free gift of superabundant grace to rule over your sin and your death and leads to life forever in Jesus Christ.